house tonight so that we can grow and change to become more like Jesus Christ. That's why we exist at Maranatha Baptist University as well. And we would like to teach these young people as they come to Watertown, Wisconsin, that they would step it up and do something great for God. And the mission that we have at the university is to launch them out to be servants and leaders in their local churches for the glory of God. I know we have some graduates in the auditorium. Can you just lift your hand? We want to honor you tonight. Where are the graduates of Maranatha? Thank you so much for being here tonight. And we just wanted to recognize you. I also know that there are a number of students that are from Marquette Manor Baptist Church, and we are so thankful for them. Some of them came for the first time this year. Some of them have been there for a little while. And we're so thankful, and we hope that you send many more our way because they are outstanding young people. Great to see some of the parents here as well tonight. We have several families that are visiting, parents that are visiting to hear the band here tonight, and we're so thankful to see you in the auditorium as well. And we just count it a privilege to serve the Lord by serving you as families and serving you as a local church. That's why we exist. And so I'm so thankful to be a part of this tonight. My name is Mark Herbster, and as you can tell, I enjoy playing in the band. I enjoy this opportunity for many reasons. Along with a couple other of my colleagues up here, we actually have one of our science teachers. I believe he teaches microbiology. Mr. Tim Meyer is playing the trombone back there. And of course, you already met Mr. Peter Wright, who is playing the tuba, and you definitely heard the tuba, didn't you? And I'm playing the trumpet. We actually have a couple others that step in and out of band during the year as well. But we love playing with the band for several reasons. Number one, we love our students, and we love being with them. Number two, we love music, and this is incredible music. I just sense tonight that the band is playing very well. I shouldn't probably say that myself, but I was in the band, but I also was in the band this morning, and they're actually playing better tonight than they did this morning, Doc, and I appreciate very much each of the band members. I love music, I love the band, I love these students, and I absolutely love Dr. Brown. And what an amazing guy he is, and I'm so thankful to be serving alongside of my good friend, Dr. David Brown. And it's a privilege to be with you tonight. I think it would be appropriate for us to take just a few minutes to look to the Word of God for a brief message from His Word. So if you have your Bibles, would you please open to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter is writing to a group of scattered out believers. And I think there's a lot of appropriate application from this book in the New Testament, not only for all of us as Christians, but I feel very particularly for young people to be trained to be pilgrims in this world, to not cling tightly to the things of this earth, but to set our affection on things above, to live for things that are heavenly, to live for things that are from God and are true and profound. And really, this is at the very heart of what we are doing in Christian education and at Maranatha Baptist University. And that we want these young people to go out of our school ready to be pilgrims and strangers in the world. And not only is that for these college students, but this is the way it should be for every Christian. And so Peter addresses us in 1 Peter as children of God. He says that we are a generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth God's praises in this world. Oh, how I long for that in my life, in my family, in my ministry, and I hope that you do as well. That you would not just fit in and coast and find yourself being just like the world, but that you would be someone who makes a difference for God by being distinctively in opposition to the ways of this age. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. And there's no way we can cover too many passages from 1 Peter, but one of my favorite ones is found here in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 15. And I believe in these two verses that we will read, verses 15 and 16, we find three principles, or may I say, admonitions, for us as believers, so that we can live as pilgrims in this world, as strangers in this world. So I'll read the verses, then we'll take a look at these three admonitions. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. I do believe these are very key verses in the book of 1 Peter, because there are three commands, three admonitions that he gives to us so that we can be pilgrims going against the tide of the age and being someone that makes a difference for God. And as I remind you tonight as believers, I also say to all of our college students, this is what we're hoping for. This is what we're longing for in the students of Maranatha Baptist University. And that is, number one, that they would, and we would as Christians, number one, declare Him, that's God, as the Lord of our life. There needs to be a declaration that He is the Lord. Notice the first phrase of verse 15. Sanctify the Lord. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. This is an amazing word. It literally means to set Him apart. It's the same word that is used to describe our distinction from sin, our being set apart from sin, typically translated to be holy or to be sanctified from sin. But in this context, it's talking about taking a person and setting Him as special, or making Him set apart. And notice the place of this surrender, that is in our hearts. For out of the heart are all the issues of life. May I say tonight that we are not interested in behavioral modification. We are interested in real heart change that manifests itself in outward activities. And this is the theme here, that in our hearts we would be fully yielded and fully surrendered to the Lord. And I think making God special is at the very heart of what we are trying to accomplish in our lives. You know, many years ago when I first became an evangelist, and those of you that have been here a while have actually visited your church back in 2015, I came with our evangelistic team, and that was, I believe, the last time I've been here. And Pastor, it's great to be back here at Marquette Manor. But when I became an evangelist, I thought to myself, I'm going to get all these messages on different character issues, behavioral issues, and especially as a young evangelist, I want to preach all those messages to teenagers. I want them to hear all of what they shouldn't do and what they should do. And I started to realize that there is a major problem that needs to be dealt with, and it is not all of these, necessarily all these external behavioral issues. Do you realize you can talk all day long about their entertainment, but if God doesn't have their heart, they're not going to give up their entertainment? Do you realize you can preach messages on friends and music and language and peer pressure, and you can talk all about these, and these are important issues for young people, but you can talk about all of those things, message after message after message, but if young people and, frankly, Christians do not give God their heart in full surrender, then they'll never give up all those things. And so it took me a little bit of experience to realize that the most important thing is what Solomon said in the book of Proverbs. My son, give me what? Thine heart. And this is where it all starts. And this is a declaration from the inside which will manifest itself on the outside. And so I need to ask you tonight, are you living distinct, set apart lives from the world by declaring Him as the Lord of your life, setting Him as special in your heart? And He should be special, for He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a second command that He gives us in this text, and it is clearly given after the first command of sanctifying God in our hearts. He says this, and that signifies there's something else coming, be ready always to give an answer. This is an amazing word. This is the Greek word from which we get the English word apologetics. Have you ever heard that word before? It literally has the idea of defending him as the Lord. So number one, declare him as Lord. Number two, defend him as the Lord. And I believe this really ought to be at the very heart of our lives as Christians, and that is not to just talk the talk of Christianity, but that we would understand our faith, that we would understand not only what we believe, but why we believe it. And I believe that it is of the utmost importance for young people, that from the earliest ages all the way through their training in Christian education, that we are not just saying, do this, believe this, be this, but that we are showing some apologetic, logical, biblical, even scientific and reasonable proofs and evidences for why we do what we do. Now, we could talk a lot about apologetics, and we could be here a long time, and apologetics is not an end of itself. You can't prove, I know that you know this, you can't prove everything. And there's not logical and reasonable proof for everything that we read in the Scripture, but we know we have a reliable book, amen? It's reliable, it's sufficient, and I do believe that we can prove that. We do know that Jesus is God, and there's a lot of proofs that we can give for the evidence of the deity of Christ. We do believe in a six-day literal creation, not that we crawled out of some soupy swamp and after billions of years we have evolved. We do believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And I believe there are significant biblical truths and proofs that we can give for all of these truths. And I just want to kind of whet your appetite tonight, because there's no way we could talk about all of the apologetic issues that need to be dealt with. But people who are stable and secure in a world that is anti-God are people who know their faith. They have a deep faith in God, which is built upon some apologetic proofs and reasons they've seen in the Word of God, they've experienced in life, and it is important for you to continue to grow in your understanding and knowledge of the Word of God. So many times I talk to people in our society, and it's a privilege to talk to people that give us an opportunity to share the gospel. People with false philosophies. People who are believing in false religions. I've even talked to some people who say they don't believe in anything. Well, ultimately, they're believing in themselves at that point. And we talk to people all the time, don't we, as Christians? But the primary reason we should know why we believe what we believe is not just to share the gospel, but it is so that we do not waffle and change with every wind of doctrine, with every change in society, with every fad that comes down the pike called Christianity. And just because it's Christian or it's called Christian or is in the Christian culture doesn't mean it pleases God. And so it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. And I believe when we are able to be ready to give an answer, and notice what he says, with meekness and fear. It is never appropriate for us to be unkind, mean, or angry towards anyone in our society. I believe this is primarily talking about our disposition. We need to have the right position, but we need to have the right disposition and demeanor towards people. But then he says, with meekness and fear. And I believe that word fear there, because it's never used of our human fear, but our fear of God is what this is talking about. So we live in this life, in this short life, which is like a vapor, and we live with a significant respect for God, which helps us with meekness to display His glory and His gospel to other people. But we need to be ready to give an answer. There is no stability without deep-rooted faith in Jesus Christ. And that comes with study. And frankly, a lot of Christians are not willing to do the time, quality and quantity time, to study, to show themselves approved unto God. And so this is a command that will help us to be a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Number one, declare Him as Lord. Number two, defend Him as Lord. And then notice verse 16. It is obvious that he's talking here about demonstrating Him as the Lord. Demonstrating Him as the Lord. He says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. We all know this. It is dishonest and disingenuous and terribly hypocritical for us to defend Jesus Christ doctrinally and not prove it practically in our lives, in our lifestyle. I mean, many people in the world would say there's so many hypocrites in the church. There's so many people that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And it is true. And it is important that we recognize that we need to demonstrate with a good conscience and with good conduct. That's what that verse teaches us. With a good, clean conscience and clean conduct, conversation, that we would demonstrate in our lifestyle that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And I believe when people see our families, they ought to notice a difference. When people watch us interact as husband and wife in your marriage, they ought to see a difference. When they hear you handle things at work and how you talk to the boss, and maybe hear how you're handling your finances and the kinds of things you're doing in your time management, when they see how you entertain yourself and the kinds of events that you get involved in, there should be all kinds of clear demonstrations going on in our lives. When people see us, they ought to see that Christ changes us. Christ makes a difference. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Boy, I think it is time that we as a church step it up in our holiness, step it up in our demonstration of Jesus Christ. There are some places and some Christians you would never even know they were a Christian if you were watching their lives and their lifestyle. And all I'm saying is we ought to consider how are we demonstrating Jesus Christ. So as I already told you, this is really at the very heart of what we are doing at Maranatha Baptist University. We want our college students to put God as the Lord of their life. Oh, how I long for this. When they leave our campus, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that they are living for Jesus Christ alone. He is on the throne of their hearts. But we also are training them. Every student goes through deep doctrinal training, and it is important that we are giving them the doctrines of the faith and not only saying what it is, but teaching them and instructing them on how to defend their faith. And then we are launching them out into the world because we want them to make a distinct difference for God. And this is what every Christian should be doing, because when Jesus comes, we will be taken off of this world and we will be in the real world and we will be with God forever. So I exhort you tonight as Peter exhorted those believers. Declare Him as the Lord. Defend Him as the Lord. And demonstrate Him as the Lord. And if you put these commands and obey these commands in your life, you will definitely make a difference as a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And in just a moment, I'm going to have Micah begin to play a song on the piano just to give us an opportunity to respond briefly to the message. We don't want to have a come forward necessarily, a come forward invitation tonight, but I think every time the Word of God is shared, we have to recognize it is truly God's Word, which means we should have some sort of intellectual and emotional response to God's Word, and maybe even a volitional choice that we make with our will. And I encourage you, whatever God has spoken to you about tonight, make a decision for the Lord. Right now, just take a few moments to talk to the Lord.